Dave and I realized, all right, these NFTs are going to be huge. Let's document what we're doing as well. And let's really focus on helping people who may be a couple months or maybe now a year behind us. So they, because, you know, we were running into pitfalls and winds. And I was lucky that like my first three trades, I like made money on them. The very first day, I think I made about $1,000 on NFTs. And I was like, this is easy. And then I realized it wasn't so easy if I'm not paying attention or I'm, you know, trying to flip drunk at 3 a.m.
wrong blockchain. There goes $1,000.
This is an intro. Intro.
Hustle and Flowchart with your boy,
my boy,
Matt Wolf,
and Joe Fair.
Hey,
welcome back to the Hustle and Flowchart podcast. Today we're chatting with two really, really good buddies of ours, and they're actually a part of the advisory board of our new business that we're building over at Hard Fork Gaming. Today we're talking to Jason Moffitt and Dave Tatera. Now, Jason is somebody that we go way, way, way back with. We've known Jason since probably around 2009, and he's been in the digital marketing space for a long, long time. He was actually kind of one of our earlier mentors in the digital marketing space. We're actually learning from him a lot back in the early days when we were first getting started. And both Jason and Dave have kind of transitioned into focusing on NFTs and crypto just like we have. And since we've made that pivot, it's been really fun to have these conversations on our podcast with people that were doing similar businesses to us before getting into this crypto NFT space and hearing about their transition into the crypto space. So really, really amazing conversation. And on this one, they're going to break down their philosophies towards buying and selling NFTs. They have a kind of a system that they use that's been working really, really well. They've made a lot of profits from buying and selling NFTs. And we're also going to discuss some of the tips to make sure that you don't get scammed or invest in really, really crappy projects in the NFT space. Now, I do want to disclaim, nothing we talk about here is financial advice. You definitely need to do your own research. This is all anecdotal. This is stuff that they've played with and we've played with, and we're talking about some of the stuff that's worked for us. But again, it's not financial advice, just anecdotal people chatting about what we've been up to. Now, they do actually have a very, very in-depth course, and they're going to break down what you get in that course on this episode towards the end of the episode. So make sure you stick around for that. The course is called NFT Profits, and they actually set up a special link for Hustle and Flowchart listeners. If you go to nftprofits.com/hustle, you can go and grab that course. You guys are like the first people hearing about this course, and that is in-depth training. It's some of the most in-depth training I've ever seen on the topic of NFTs. And, you know, to be honest, I've never actually really seen any other NFT courses out there. This is literally the only one I've ever seen, but this course covers everything, and we'll break down what's in the course towards the end of the episode. But you can get access to that course over at nftprofits.com/hustle. So make sure you check that out. All right. So before we get into it, I want to remind you, go join the discussion with us over on Discord over at hustleandflowchart.com/Discord. It's like a giant chat room where we all talk about the podcast episodes and what we're working on and what we've been up to. And Jason and Dave from this episode frequently pop into the Discord as well. So make sure if you're not already, go check out hustleandflowchart.com/Discord and join the discussion with us. Also, finally, follow us over on Twitter. I am Matt R. Wolf. Joe is Joe Fear. We also have Hard Fork Gaming. We actually rebranded that recently from Hard Fork Media. It's actually now Hard Fork Gaming. So over on Twitter, you can find us there. And that's about it. Let's go talk to Jason and Dave.
Jason, Dave, welcome to the show. It's been a little bit. Dave, you graced the show recently. You and Fun Uncle and Moffitt, dude. Jason, you were like one of the, I don't know, like the first month of the podcast or something. I don't know how many years ago it was.
Oh, yeah. I think you were episode like 5 or something like that on our show.
Oh, wow. Well, don't repurpose any of my stuff unless you ask my attorney, because who knows what I said
in the past. We should revisit that. Yeah, I don't even
know. No, we shouldn't. We should not.
Don't know. Look at the past. Yeah.
Sure. I'm a new man now. I've grown up.
Yeah. I actually don't even remember what we talked about. I think we were talking about like quick income hacks or what's the wording you use for it?
Quick money hacks,
probably. Yeah. I think we were talking about that kind of stuff.
You still got that around, though. I
mean, yeah, that's still relevant.
That's like in your DNA ever since we've known you, Jason.
Yeah, I actually just revamped the project because we still sell it. It's still care, and there's always new things that pop up, and there's always people who need, you know, a tactic or a strategy to put an extra $100, $500 in their pocket by the end of the month. And so, yeah, I think that product will probably sell forever.
Yeah. I mean, that's actually pretty relevant to like the, you know, NFT space, because everybody in the NFT space, everybody needs liquidity, right? You need liquidity. I want to get into more projects. I don't want to have to sell out of projects that might still go big because, you know, if I sell out of that project too early, you know, so that the just like a way to constantly have a little bit of income trickling in so you can stay in the game is powerful.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of staying in. I'm like trying to get in and get out in like 72 hours if I can. And I think I 16x something the other day in 24 hours.
Nice.
Yeah, well,
we'll have to get into that philosophy. Before we do, let's introduce Dave a bit, because I'm curious, like, how you guys got connected and how you guys went down the NFT rabbit hole in the first place.
Yeah, for sure. I've been doing a lot of different internet marketing, kind of dabbling for many years. And when the pandemic hit, my normal regular job dried up and I went on unemployment. And through that, I actually met into Jason. I saw a post from him online and said, hey, you know, I've studied, you know, under Dan Kennedy, and I've done Stompernet, and I've done, and I think it was Ben Zavanga. When I mentioned Ben Zavanga, that was the one that like lit a light bulb, but he's like, nobody knows Gary Brunner. Right? He's the best, you know? So once we connected on that, we started working on some other projects. And then through him knowing Buffalo, he knew of Lad City and got me into there. Gosh, we got into BitCloud first.
Yeah, right? I would say before that, and the thing he left out too is we're both in Maui, in Hawaii, and so I live right up the road from him. And the fact that to connect with somebody local on the internet stuff was nuts. But we got into BitCloud first, and at first, BitCloud, talk about quick money hacks. Oh my gosh, it was like printing money as fast as you could do it. It was we had like an 8-hour window where we were just investing on every single person who, if they seemed like a real person, we invested in them.
We had this bot that we found that basically was, as soon as someone signed up for it, before they could even buy their own token, it published it, and we'd be the first ones to buy it. At zero risk. Yeah. You were the first person. You had zero risk and astronomical upside.
I put 300. I was listening to Stefan Georgi and Craig Clemens on a podcast, and Craig was really big in BitCloud at the moment, probably one of the biggest. And so it was obvious after the podcast, Stefan was going to go and sign up too. So I was just sitting there, refresh, waiting. And as soon as Stefan bought, I put $300 in before Stefan even allowed. I mean, he didn't even know the platform, so he hadn't even invested in himself yet. So Stefan then invested in himself, drives my $300. I don't know, maybe like 1500 or something. And then Craig Clemens comes in behind him and dumps like just a huge heap of BitCloud on him. And all of a sudden, my $300 goes to $18,000. And we're like talking like 5 minutes. And I'm like, cash out. So I sent Stefan a message. I'm like, sorry, bro. Baron, love more.
Well, you weren't the whale in that sense. You just got in early, so you're like, all right.
Yeah, we never got in on the BitCloud train, because when I first looked at BitCloud, I think I heard about it from Jason. I think he posted about it on Facebook or something like that. I was looking at it, and at the time I was looking at it, there was no way to actually pull your money out. There was only a way to put your money in, and I was kind of like, ooh, this looks a little honeypotty to me. Is this legit? And then I just kind of fell off my radar. But
it really was. And you know, we got fortunate that we found some people who knew how to cash out from some, not even secondary, seems like five level deep markets, you swap to this and that, and eventually you got 70% of what the balance was. But it was interesting. So we had like an 8-hour window where we could just make money hand over fist, and then people started catching on to it. And then pretty soon we were battling against other bots, and we couldn't beat the bots, and we did our own game. And well, that's how we basically got started, even in crypto, really. And then eventually hanging out in Lad City. It's funny because Lad City was talking so much about NFTs, and Dave and I are like, shut up, talk about the coins. We don't care about these stupid characters. Just tell me what coin's going to pump.
it was hilarious. We were on the outside the NFTs, sure. And then both of us, we got both won one. Mm-hmm. We each won a free one NFT. He won on Wax, and I won a Voxy on Ethereum. And I remember looking back at it in the middle of the summer, and it was suddenly like, this is worth like $1,200. Like, somebody just gave me this. It's worth $1,200. This picture's worth $1,200. I was like, wait a minute, I got to research this. And that's what took us down the NFT hole.
Yeah, man. And that's kind of like similar to us, actually, including Wax. Like, we got our first NFTs gifted to us from Joel Com, from being on the podcast, and we were hanging out, and he was like, hey, here's a couple packs of NFTs for you guys on Wax. I mean, it's like, I think that got our brains, like, that was one of the things that just got us like, wait, hold on. So this is going to become a game, and this is, you know, it has a whole marketplace. And then you start kind of doing the research, you're like, holy crap, there's so much to this whole crypto thing.
It helps when there's a guy like Joel relaying the message, because Joel's always been kind of on the forefront of cool things popping off.
Dude, he's been in the space for what, 4 or 5 years with his podcast alone.
Like, oh yeah, he was like, when he did his Bad Crypto podcast, that was like the first podcast in the crypto space. Maybe Bankless might have come a little bit earlier, I'm not sure, but like, he was at least first three podcasts on crypto.
You know, and I actually was kind of inspired by that, because when he did the bad crypto, he basically was positioning himself like, listen, I have no idea what I'm doing, but I'm going to document what I'm doing throughout this process and share. And I thought that was brilliant positioning, as, you know, a lot of people try to leverage themselves to be some expert or whatnot. Yeah. Dave and I realized, all right, these NFTs are going to be huge. Let's document what we're doing as well. And let's really focus on helping people who may be a couple months or maybe now a year behind us. So they, because, you know, we were running into pitfalls and winds, and I was lucky that like my first three trades, I like made money on them. The very first day, I think I made about $1,000 on NFTs, and I was like, this is easy. And then I realized it wasn't so easy if I'm not paying attention, or I'm, you know, trying to flip drunk at 3 a.m.
Oh no, wrong blockchain. There goes $1,000.
Did I put 0.3 ETH or 3 ETH? Shit, I can't remember.
Well, you see the stories of people like, you know, selling Bored Apes, like, I don't know, for like the wrong decimal point, and you're like, oh shit.
That There's was just way
like
too many stoners in NFT. That's the problem.
Yeah.
I bought a hashtag, and I don't know if that hash is a pun or not, but the hashtag I was trying to buy for 0.017. And sure enough, when I ended up buying, I paid like 0.17. So I ended up paying like, I don't know, $600 or $700 or something. I wanted to pay $100 for, and it all looked fine. But as I went through the multiple steps of the checkout, I didn't pay attention to the very last signing in MetaMask. And at the last second, someone pulled the switcheroo and changed the price on me.
I've seen that happen, man. On OpenSea, you're just like, especially with the hot projects, right? Like right when they're minting or
Things are taking off like crazy. Yeah, you just got to slow down and just double check. And so that's why Dave and I created the NFT Profits course, because we realized, wow, you know, we're having all this success, but we're also making stupid mistakes that are totally preventable. Yep. And we have a bunch of friends asking to get in, and we're like, hey, you know, we should really like educate them on these things not to do, save them $500, $600, $700, $5,000 so that they can be profitable with the trades. And I think it was a great way to start. And then through that process, what has it been? Almost a year. It's going to be almost a year now. I wouldn't call us experts just because I don't like to pat myself on the back, but dude, being a year ahead of people, holy crap,
dude, you're ahead of almost everyone, you know. I mean, obviously there's a lot of people that made a bunch of money last year in NFTs, but like, let's be, a lot of people are called experts if they got in at like May last year. Mm-hmm.
So like that, yeah,
like, yeah,
my favorite is I've seen people on Twitter say that they're metaverse experts. That one's an interesting one to me.
How? 45 minutes ago, I got into it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's all really early. Even just simple things like taking crypto, going through an exchange, be it Coinbase, be it Kraken, moving it to a MetaMask, keeping it on the right networks, trading it into Polygon Ethereum if you want to buy it. You know, these things that once you've done them, they seem really simple. I remember when we first started crypto and it was so confusing. We couldn't figure any of it out. And so that's one of the nice things too. We really take this to that step. Like, we want Homer Simpson to be able to go out and buy an NFT, but not just buy any NFT. We're going to teach you far enough along that you can actually pick one that's a good chance of being a winner.
I think a lot of people too kind of get confused, and they see all the stories about the Bored Ape Yacht Clubs or the CryptoPunks and these astronomical numbers of millions of dollars and whatnot. And while those do exist, that's not the norm necessarily. And so Dave and I realized, all right, let's focus on helping people flip something for $3,000 or $5,000. And great, if they can pull $100K out of something, fantastic. Or eventually maybe there will be more opportunities like the Bored Apes. And that's why we teach them how to research these projects and stuff. But I think that there's something more refreshing and realistic about two guys that are showing you how to, like, here's something that made $12,000. Mm-hmm. Here's something that made $2,800. Here's something I lost $95 on, yeah, you know, and here's why I lost on this. And here's the stupid thing that made me lose $1,200 because I'm an idiot and I don't want you to do that.
Here's how I got scammed by not paying attention to this. Like, cause I shared some of my stories on this on the show. I'm like, there's so many factors if you're not paying attention to just the basics and slowing down.
There really is. So I have this tool that I'm plugged into that shows me anything that's minted in the last minute. So I, in the middle of the night, when most people aren't minting large projects, I saw like 1,000 being minted in a minute, and then 500, and I just aped in. There was no time to even research the project because it was going to sell out in a matter of like 3 or 4 more minutes. And I ended up picking up 3 of them. One of them might flip for like $1,600. And so the other day, Dave and I were chilling, and all of a sudden I saw in the last minute, like 300 things were popping off, and it was the same kind of scenario. And we didn't really research it enough. We both popped in and bought 3 of them, and sure enough, it was a rug pull.
So talk about a rug pull really quick, because
I don't know if our audience knows the term rug pull so much yet. So maybe
we'll just say like the ones that we first aped into, not aped into, but well, maybe me.
I think my first 3 were rug pulls.
Yeah, like so we had shitty luck from the get go. But tell us about that a little bit.
Yeah, so let me give you like an analogy. Let's say you got a smoking hot date. You've been waiting forever to go out with her, and she finally says yes, and you take her to the Four Seasons to go out to eat. But it's really weird. For some reason, the Four Seasons wants you to prepay for the meal, and you're like, fine, no big deal. You did sit down, you grab the menu, you go through, you look, oh, you order all your appetizers, your food, your dessert, and all of a sudden you're super excited. The waitress is like, yeah, it's gonna be here in 2 seconds. She walks away and then just never comes back. And the whole restaurant shuts down.
Walls fall down.
Cardboard. And you're sitting there with your date. She's like, I'm really hungry. And you're like, I got no money left.
That's a good analogy.
That's pretty, that's accurate, man. You put the facade, looks great. It's beautiful, you know, not only the restaurant, but the girl, maybe the NFT or the thing, you know, but like, because there's a whole community and project and all that could just go poof.
Yeah, yeah. The first 2 rug pulls that I had on me, I went into the projects, because the cool thing about crypto is you can actually see all the transactions on the blockchain, and some of the people that are buying, you can actually see who they are, right? Like Gary Vaynerchuk is a known wallet. People know what his wallet address is and they can watch what he's doing. Alex Becker, some of these big influencers in the space, you know their wallets and you can watch what they're doing. So I was watching Gary V's wallet and I'm like, ooh, he went in on this NFT and he went in on this NFT and he went in on this NFT. He must know something I don't, right? So I went and bought some of these NFTs because I saw Gary's name buying these NFTs on the ledger. And it turns out that a lot of projects were just like throwing NFTs at influencers because they know people watch the wallets, right? So I was watching the wallets, aped it because Gary was getting in on it. And then a week later, the Discord just goes silent and nobody's talking anymore. And all of the roadmap is just gone and nobody's talking anymore. And it's just the project's dead.
Yeah, it's sad and unfortunate that those exist. The good news is David and I actually show you how to vet these things fairly simple within 5 minutes to be able to tell if it's legit or not. But when you're new, you don't know. I almost fell for the exact same thing that you did, but there's literally just one button that you can push in OpenSea that will, you know, filter all that out, and then you realize what he really is or isn't buying.
Well, I'm curious of a couple things. I feel like it would be really cool to break down some of the basics for how to spot winners. And I know there's way deeper strategies, but like maybe a surface level kind of like, all right, so there's a bunch of shit going on. Like here are some of the fundamentals for at least, you know, setting yourself up to win. And then I'm kind of curious about some cool stories, like some random projects that you might have aped in on or maybe lost your ass on, you know, that like is a good learning lesson that we could talk about here too.
Oh, yeah. So
the spotting winners. Okay.
So the spotting the winners, I think, is actually pretty easy because there's so many data points, whether it's somebody's Twitter followers, how many they have, how engaged they are, how many people are on the Discord. And then even looking at the longevity of that, was this Twitter and Discord just created in the last 25 days? And did they all of a sudden pump in a bunch of people into this? Mm-hmm. So a lot of people want to get on the whitelist, which is basically getting early opportunity to buy. And so if a project has say 10,000 NFTs, they may allocate 2,000 of them for the whitelist, but you have to sometimes go through different hoops or know people to get on these particular whitelists. That can offer some clues to how fast the whitelists, if those all mint out right away, that's one indicator. The problem is now too, is the market's so saturated that even just getting on the whitelist doesn't necessarily mean that you are in an advantageous position. It just may mean that you're an earlier sucker. I think there's a lot of ways to tell once the minting happens how fast it's getting to fill out, to sell out. So if you see that there's 8,000 available left as soon as it mints. And then within 5 to 10 minutes, there's only 2,000 left. Well, that thing is definitely going to sell out. And when people are massively purchasing all at the same time, you know, you have to factor in gas fees as well. And so it just takes a little bit of time to watch the process to kind of understand where the opportunities are. And sometimes the opportunities aren't buying when everybody's minting, because what happens is everybody mints and then the project hasn't revealed what people are exactly getting. So the moment that they do reveal, well, 95% of the people realize, oh, I didn't get one of the rare ones that is worth more money. So then they dump them right back onto the secondary market to sell. And then all of a sudden the price, there's so many on there that the price goes lower than what the original mint price was. So you would be better off to just have waited it out. And these are really only things that you can know by getting involved in a few. And so that's what I usually encourage people to do. Yes, do your research, but get into a couple NFTs from the pre-launch, the launch, and the post-launch, and really watch the entire process play out. And then you'll start noticing consistencies and then sometimes inconsistencies, which then can be like, oh, wait, something's fishy here. I'm out. Yeah. And then there's also, and then when you do this enough times, there will become projects out there from big players that you know is going to be a smashing success no matter what. I mean, look at all of us trying to get into the Mechaverse. Mm-hmm. We all knew it was going to sell out in minutes. We knew way ahead of time, but we only really knew that because we had been involved in other projects in the past.
It's funny, Mechaverse, I remember my wife and I, we actually went on like a lunch date and we went and saw a movie, and I actually had like the way they did the Mechaverse was like a raffle. So I had like a few entries into the raffle and I was sitting there in the movie with like my phone, like inside my jacket, sitting there watching the raffle and not the movie.
got him, did I make it?
Did you get it in again? Well, yeah. I mean, that one was, I think you turned about $1,750 in about $40,000 in a matter of an hour if you won that lottery. You know, it's pretty awesome. But with talking about this vetting it, one of the things we do is, because it's not so simple, we have a checklist that we basically teach you all through it, and it lets you vet the project owners, get to know how the community is going, and you know, analyze the utility of the project and kind of put it all together. Mm-hmm. So when you're not just aping in like we did on that, you know, that one we were talking about, when you're actually researching a project, that's when you really avoid the mistakes and avoid the rug pulls.
Do you guys look out for like known named creators, you know, like in the doxed creators, as everybody calls it, like in this space? Do you guys, because I think that was one of the big red flags that we weren't paying attention to in the beginning, is we would just go, oh, there's buzz around this project on Twitter. And then you'd go and look, and the person who created it was named like Freaky Friday 32 or something like that. And, you know, we weren't looking for that kind of stuff in the beginning, but is that something you look for now? Because I won't ever get into an NFT project now unless I know who the creators are behind it.
I think there's merit to that, but I've also seen fully doxed people with amazing teams that I've bought 12 of their NFTs and I'm still sitting around wondering when it's going to do anything.
Yep.
So just because, like you said, the checklist, every checklist, you know, there's, you put a little bit of merit on each little check, but none of them by themselves are really green lights. Some of them by themselves can be red lights and you get out right away. But yeah, I would love for someone to be doxed, but sometimes like the girlies, I bought this thing, the one I told you I saw, just they had opened up for minting like 7 or 8 days prior, and they had only sold like 40. Like the project wasn't doing all that well. Mm-hmm. And then literally in the middle of the night, they sold like 9,700 of them or something in a matter of minutes. And I didn't have time to research them. And then even when I did start researching them, even though they kind of seemed doxed, it was still, the girl was 14 years old, so I can understand why she didn't have personal information out there. You really have to investigate. I also sometimes have no problem investing in a project that isn't doxed if I think there's enough FOMO going on. These greed glands are salivating. People have this fear of missing out. I could even know that it's a rug pull, maybe, or maybe not a rug, but just an iffy project. But if I thought that there was a quick couple hundred bucks in it in a few hours, I'll still take a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess to be fair too, if you look at the Bored Ape Yacht Club, you know, probably the most well-known of all the NFTs because all the celebrities are picking them up now. Those creators weren't doxxed until about a week ago and they didn't even get doxxed by choice. A newspaper or something outed them.
Personally, I've thought about the whole doxxing issue. Like, should I come up with a cool crypto name and whatnot? And I realized that, you know, I've been doing this internet stuff for 17 years and I've developed a name and a reputation. So if I decided to get involved with an actual NFT project, I would just rather put my name on it so people could feel comfortable about investing in me because they're investing in that long history. And, you know, I don't really have any flops or any negative press throughout that 17 years. Right. And I feel proud of that. And I want to be able to stand by that. So why not use my name? Maybe I'll get a cool NFT like tattoo on my face or something.
That.
Yeah. And I can be part of the cool kids club.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. I mean, like, cause you see it from, you know, like we're all looking at games to play to earn stuff. And, you know, we're seeing a lot of these white papers coming through and now it's like, it's not just NFT projects, but we're seeing it in games too. There's the same kind of due diligence, undoxed versus doxed. And we've seen legit projects that are not doxed yet, but some of these were like, oh wow, these are legit teams. So like kind of seeing it from the white paper side and having conversations, I could see both sides. Like you never really know, but you have to use your gut, maybe test it out a little bit, do the deeper research, like the checklist. That's not just team focused.
I also like to point out too, that, you know, doxed versus undoxed is not the best criteria all the time because there's this guy, Bernie Madoff. He was doxed.
Good point. You know, very good point.
Yeah. And I think a big part of it is also how long you're going to hold it. And sometimes doxed versus not doxed can make a big difference in that. Because if you're planning to flip it and sell it in 12 or 24 hours, by all means, it doesn't really matter that much.
Yeah.
But, you know, like the longer term holds I've had are Voxy, a game, Phantom Galaxy, another game. Mm-hmm. These are ones that were docs that you knew there was real support behind. Sure. So you didn't have to worry about somebody taking your money in the night. You could leave it for 6-8 months.
How do you guys decide whether it's worth holding on to for a little bit longer versus going for that quick flip?
For me, they're like, say, for instance, the Squishy Squad, I think is a perfect example of one. If you hold a Squishy, then inside of their Discord, you get token gated into a series of tools that other people can't see unless they actually hold a Squishy as well. And one of those tools happened to be the one that alerted me of those girlies NFTs. So I like to have access to as much relevant, timely data as I can. And so these guys created these tools, which in the space they refer to as utility. That particular NFT has a tremendous amount of utility because it helps me with other things. So when I bought the Squishies, I think I bought maybe seven of them. I sold quite a few of them too because they've gone up in value. I got out and made a good profit on it. But that last one, I can't sell it. Even when I wanted to sell it the other day for, I don't know, like $1,700 or something, I think I could have got for it. It would have then removed me from having access to the tool. So some real utility, you know, you guys brought up games. Well, a lot of these NFTs, you know, can be or will be in the future be able to be played in games. There's a game called Eververse. It's like a hoverboard racing game. And I was holding on to one of those because I saw the value of being able to race your character in that game. And then I got impatient and ended up selling it. And then sometimes too, you know, you're sitting on this portfolio of NFTs. And so like one day you might have $8,000 in Ethereum and you're like, yeah, what am I going to buy? And then you go on your shopping spree and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm ETH poor, but I'm NFT rich. And then you start looking in your catalog, you're like, what am I going to sacrifice and sell here? And sometimes you're even saying, I'm okay with selling this one at a loss because I need the liquid money to go over here and buy this other potential opportunity.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Do you have tracking systems and stuff to kind of keep an eye on your NFT portfolio and, you know, maybe the demand or like if something's starting to pop, floor price rised and you're ready to sell? Like, do you have alerts set up or any kind of system that helps you out?
I wish, man.
Holy jazz. We've talked about this is something that we wish existed out there and we're keeping an eye out for somebody to come up with a good one. But
I've even explored the idea of making everything that I want too. Mm-hmm. So yeah, because I mean, like, you know, if you have 50 NFTs inside of your wallet it's really hard to know what they're all doing at any given time. And one particular one, particularly one that you might not have been paying attention to, you kind of gave up and you're like, hopefully one day it comes back. Mm-hmm. Well, you're not refreshing and looking at that one all the time. And it could yesterday have had some weird anomaly, you know, Weird Al Yankovic might have been making a song about it or something, and it took off and you didn't see that. And then all of a sudden it leveled back out. It would have been really nice to get an alert. So I think the bare minimum thing you should do, and I showed it to you guys before, it started to work on my laptop, but in OpenSea, you can kind of just scroll. If you widen out your screen, you can kind of just scroll and it'll pop up a little window and show the floor price. And so every morning I like to just go through and just in my head, I remember all the, mm-hmm. the average floor prices, and I just check them out real quick and see if there's any anomalies in there. If there is, I'll dig in and further investigate it.
That's but easy enough. Yeah.
This is also why we talk about the importance of having a mastermind and having other people that you're trading with, because you're only one person. You only have one set of eyes. Mm-hmm. And so when you multiply that by 6, 7, 8, maybe out 100 people in a Discord that are all looking out for the same kind of opportunities. And it's not the kind of opportunity where, like, if I find it, I don't want to tell anybody else about it because I want it all myself. No, it helps me to tell all my other friends, because they're going to boost it up.
Yep.
So the advantageous opportunities that exist for people that are ganging up together and sharing intel, and people talk about community all the time. If you build a smart community, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, this is nuts.
Yeah. Mm. And I mean, this whole space is very collaborative like that, and not just NFTs, but like literally everything that's going out there, you know, and the community element. I know you guys have a community on the back of NFT Profits. So like, that's one community. You know, the four of us here are also in our own hard fork community. So we're like, there's like 10, 12 of us. I don't know how many, but we're all exchanging ideas. And it's freaking amazing, because, yeah, there's no way we'd all be able to spot this stuff or understand what does that roadmap mean? What are these tokens maybe associated with an NFT? Like, there's all these utilities that, you know.
And then you end up in a community where like one person in that community has like a huge win rate. And then everybody just starts going, all right, if he's getting in, I'm getting in. Like, we have somebody in our group that I'm like, if he says to buy, I'm buying.
Yeah. Well, it's like you guys are spotting these flips too. I feel like you guys have just amazing eyes for that. I'm like, I feel like I suck at that stuff, but you guys have it, you know?
Yeah. I from early days of baseball cards and garbage pail kids and garage sales and eBay, you know, I remember the first thing I ever sold on the internet was driftwood out of my front yard. I had been burning as kindling, and I'm like, I'm sitting on a gold mine and I'm burning it. And I had no clue. My mind is wired for flipping. And I think that's where our community is really special, is because, you know, I mentioned the real way to learn this stuff is not to just sit there and watch more YouTube videos and what you got to get in the trenches and actually make trades. And so when you're in our community, you're able to, you know, discuss, particularly with Dave, if something's awry or doesn't seem right, you can ask in Discord ahead of time and run those things by us. And then
we're throwing alpha in there all the time too. When we things, you know, a lot of us have some investment in Trey's Max. Mm-hmm. And that was a great one. We put that in the Discord that he had a nice Twitter thing. I knew there weren't a lot of people on his Twitter, so it wasn't going to be super competitive. And sure enough, one of our Discord board members won a mech.
Sick.
Last mech just sold for 0.9 ETH. Like, I don't think he sold his yet, but that's potentially a $3,000 NFT that this person just got from that alpha. And so we love having the community helps with a lot of those things, because everybody's sharing, you know, yeah, Ty Lopez is starting his NFTs up now and everybody's talking about that.
Well, he's
and,
doing
know,
Radio like, Shack, right? Isn't he turning Radio Shack into an NFT platform or something like that?
Or something. It's crazy. But, it, you know, that's the whole thing. You see, we share, we get more information because each person brings a little bit to it.
Yeah, it's funny because you mentioned like Weird Al Yankovic might drop a song about it or something. Joe and I were listening to the new Snoop Dogg album this morning. Dogg has a song about the sandbox.
Dude, it literally is all about the sandbox, and is like checking it. Like, so things like that pop up and I'm like, wonder what this is doing to the sandbox price. This is going out to millions of people.
Someone asked me the other day what they would invest in. I usually don't like giving investment advice, and this is not going to be any, but it seems to me that sand, the token with Snoop Dogg's involvement, and the metaverse obviously is going to become much more of a real thing. It seems like Sandbox has such a lead on that. It sparks my mind to come up with ideas like buying land, but then also developing land and then selling developed plots. And so I started thinking like, okay, well, what kind of digital businesses could you actually generate income from? And the first idea that came to my mind, I doubt I would do it. I don't know if maybe a psychic would notice that she would be so psychic, she would know it would be a huge winner. But I was going to buy a piece of land, turn it into a psychic shop where people could come in and pay Ethereum to get a psychic reading. Yeah. You know, you could probably do tarot reading or something like that too.
Yeah.
But since it's just digital information or whatnot, I was like, wow, that's a feasible business that you could buy the land, pay a developer to develop, you know, the infrastructure to build your little digital building and booths or whatnot, and then go out to a brick and mortar psychic place and be like, look, we already have a metaverse psychic shop that you can buy, dude, ready to do business.
Yeah. So basically cool. You have the virtual plot and you're just pairing it up with, in this case, a psychic. Yep. But like, think of the other services or therapists. Sports. You know, you can do all you can do all sorts of weird service, not weird, but like services that maybe people just don't want to go to, or maybe they're feeling a little like, how about the metaverse version of that?
Yeah, I was thinking, well, we got the Super Bowl coming up on Sunday.
Well, it already happened by the time that this.
Yeah.
So, but, that was a great game.
Go Chargers. No. No.
Wrong team. But yeah, I mean, I have a friend who has a very successful sports picking business. You know, that would work in there too.
For sure.
They are having big Decentraland poker tournaments and gaming tournaments like that. And I was thinking about it too, for sports gaming, I mean, you can have a nice sports book that you can be in the metaverse and look up at the different screens with the different games on and place all the bets. And it's all just done with your VR headset on, you know, which you're actually in. You know, and it's going to be there.
There will definitely be like metaverse sports bars. Like, it's definitely coming. Yeah. And I think the two to look at are Sandbox and Decentraland. Those are the two that I think have that potential to build whole, like, entire economies inside of the game.
Do you think there will be metaverse bar fights? Like, I start talking to some girl, some guy's like, that's my girl. And like, he wants to beat me up in the bar.
You put on your, like, your skin, your NFT skin of just some bulked out dude that's just
No. I got a better one.
Okay. It's,
you get naked and you put coconut oil all over yourself.
And you, let's wrestle it out.
We talked about keeping it simple and talking about the ABCs of NFTs, and
this is definitely here we not are that.
Going to the XYZs.
Well, here's what's cool with what you're saying is that I think, like, where my head goes is right now, let's talk about the ABCs because those are the NFT assets, but these things can have so much utility, i.e. land in the Sandbox or Decentraland or wherever else, that might even have greater utility. That might not be a PFP, like a profile pic that you put on freaking Twitter, but it could be land you can build on. You could be a landlord in the metaverse and earn in a bunch of different ways, psychic or not, you know? So it's like, just to think of where these NFTs can go, there's a shit ton of cool things to build on.
I think it's really important to realize that we're all kind of guinea pigs right now. Mm-hmm. And that can be a good thing or a bad thing. I think eventually all of these ripe opportunities that we're having right now, I think they're going to continue to exist for quite some time. Mm-hmm. But at some point, all the nonsense, the silly, like, crypto dick butts, you know, making money on that kind of stuff will probably tailor out. And then we'll have, since all of us have guinea pigged our way through this, we'll figure out what utilities actually make sense. And we will then have a foundation to where this will be a little bit more legitimized. But right now, it's a free for all.
Totally.
And who knows how long it's going to last, but I am all for pioneering as much as I can and profiting through that and learning and then setting ourselves up that when it does become a little bit more legitimized, we have a solid foundation and really know where to pivot from there.
Yeah.
Now, do you guys mostly just focus on NFTs on Ethereum? Because one of the sort of pain in the butts about NFTs right now, at least for me, is a lot of times if you got to time it right, right? You mentioned that a lot of times you're up in the middle of the night looking at projects, and a lot of that affects the gas price. So if we're trying to buy NFTs during the middle of the day, some of the NFTs we're looking at, the gas that you have to pay, the sort of like tax to Ethereum that you have to pay on these NFTs is oftentimes the same price as the damn NFT itself. And that's really opening the doors for a lot of these other chains. You've got Solana that's getting really big, Immutable X, Polygon. There's all these other ones where you're seeing more and more NFT projects getting built out on them. So are you guys really just focused on Ethereum, or are you looking at a lot of these other platforms and just kind of looking at the whole broad spectrum?
I mean, I think both of us have more experience with Ethereum than any of the other ones. Now, we definitely teach in the course how and where to buy on Solana, how to where and buy on Polygon. We talk about all the different ones, Wax exchanges, and kind of show those. But as far as most of our buys and our personal flips and our success has come through Ethereum NFTs, Polygon is getting a little bigger too. We're definitely had a couple recent wins on Polygon, and we're growing a little more. But it's hard because when you have these inexpensive chains, you get 100,000 times the noise because anybody can make a project for 20 cents, 50 cents, a dollar, you know, nothing to make a project. So you don't have to have any skin in the game. So there's a lot more, it's trickier to sort through it.
Yeah. Well, it also seems that's where all the more influential people in NFTs are, right? Like Gary Vee, you see, is mostly doing stuff on Ethereum. Yeah. Pranksy, Beeple, like all of the sort of known names in the NFT space seem to be over on Ethereum. So if you want that potential for a big influencer to pump a project hard, that's mostly happening on Ethereum.
I think there are some opportunities, and I try to look into them as much as I can. Obviously, there's only so much time in the day, and it's already so many things to look at. But one of the things that I encourage people to do is to buy and sell some on the Polygon network, because you can buy some NFTs for like $4 and $5, right? And just to get in there and see the process, and it's like, why not try to buy one for $4 and see if you can flip it for $8? Sure, it's not going to get you but enough gas to get halfway down the road, but it will get you in there and get comfortable doing the things. But I mean, Trey's mechs are on Polygon, and I've cashed in a few grand off of that and then just convert it back to ETH and put it back in to buy more ETH stuff. And I've done pretty decently on Wax as well. And obviously all of us bought some, did you guys buy some Solana things the other day?
Oh yeah, yeah, the Synergy Land.
Synergy Land, yeah. We had a whole bunch of people in our community do the same too. So it's pretty rad to see a bunch of people jump on that.
Nice. So I think it's important to just experiment, particularly because the fees are so much smaller, to get in there and dabble. And who knows, there may be some serious opportunities that we don't even know about because we're not, we don't have our finger on the pulse of that, which brings me back to the thing I keep talking about all the time. Your mastermind or your Wu-Tang Clan of crypto, you know, you get a text, you know, like if Dave texts me at 4 a.m, so I'm not pissed, like, why are you texting me? I'm like, dude, I got to get up and buy this. I want my people in my mastermind to be, you know, pinging me and letting me know, and vice versa.
Yeah, man. Yeah. This is NFT world is the world that doesn't sleep. That's for sure, man.
Well, that Synergy Lens one that we got in, we got up at like 6 a.m. our time, and you guys are in Maui. So that would have been like 4 a.m. for you guys. Yeah. And like that's the game we're all playing now. But to your point about
two Mondays in a row.
Oh, yeah, because it got delayed the first time we all woke up to do it.
That's another thing with NFTs. Yeah, shit gets delayed a lot.
Yeah. You know? But back to the point about Solana, like I spent a day one time where I just got on Solana and I was buying projects for like $30 and then reselling it for like $42, and I did it like 5 or 6 times. I was like, cool, I just made about $100, messing around for 4 hours on this thing. Like you can spot stuff on those platforms, where Ethereum you're going to be a little more hesitant to just kind of play around, because every single time you do it, it's probably going to cost you between $50 and $100 just in the gas fees.
Yeah, I think that experience is super valuable to do that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, man. I kind of want to like give people an on-ramp to like if they're interested in jumping into your course but like thinking like even before that, what are some of the steps that they got to know? Obviously, you teach them like from start to finish, but I guess I'm looking at it right now. You have like the ABCs of NFTs. You also talk about like where to store them, you know, the NFTs, how to buy them. Like it's basically all the ground level stuff that just gets you onboarded into the space.
Oh, damn. Is that the membership?
Oh, damn. There's yeah, it is. There's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and it's wide. It's not only deep, but it's wide. There's a lot of volume of information in there. That's and it's meant for a lot of different people. If you're planning to go like us and you want to invest, you want to try to make some money on it, game on. It's good for that. Yeah. If you're a gamer who's been playing regular games and you want to get into play to earn games, it's going to teach you how to move your money, how to do all that kind of stuff. If you work for a big brand and you're working for, you know, Nike or whoever, and you're not in the metaverse and you're not in NFTs yet, this can be a great way for you to learn it because it kind of covers. And even if you're someone who's thinking of launching a project, if you're an entrepreneur, we have a whole section focused on that so that you can make sure you don't jump in the wrong way. Because Jason and I almost jumped into being NFT project owners, and that could have been a huge mistake. Mm-hmm. We learned our lesson.
We had people talk us out of it too.
Yeah. Actually, I think it might have been Jason who talked us out of it.
Jason, Buff. Yeah, it was you two.
Yeah, I think you'd be crazy to have not bought and sold a handful of NFTs before trying to get into it as a project owner and a seller, just to give you the experience and have some empathy of what it's like on the buying side and perspective, because a lot of people are rushing these things together and they don't realize the ramifications on the other end. And you know, Dave does such a fantastic job of laying all that groundwork, getting you started, getting you safe and whatnot. And then I kind of take over with a lot of the ninja spying tools, like showing you how to go in and actually see exactly what somebody else is doing.
I just saw that part of the course. I was just like, ooh, the wallet spy. I'm like, see what the whales are buying. That looks interesting.
Yeah, this has everything in it, man. You guys have like the how to stay safe and secure and make sure that nobody's going to hack you. You've got stuff in here on how to manage the taxes, which
that's a
rabbit hole I need to go down pretty soon that I don't want to, but...
Yeah, I think I'm really glad that we did it. I'm glad that we spent the time to really educate ourselves and then kind of document that throughout the process. It's really, I think someone would be crazy to get into NFT flipping without going through all of this stuff. I think it's bare minimum going to save them a couple rug pulls or misclicks or transferring one coin to the wrong coin like I've done too many times.
Yeah. I mean, our education so far has been losing thousands and thousands of dollars to learn what not to do. So this is kind of a shortcut bypass of that.
That's the same education that we went down. And that's really why we built this, because we were... I've been in numerous rug pulls, even back in tokens before I got into NFTs. And, you know, I even bought into one where the contract was written in such a way that you could buy the coin, but you couldn't sell it. Mm-hmm. So you buy it and you think you're watching it go up and you're like, this is so awesome. And then you go to sell it and it's like error, find out, you know, and there's, I teach people how to go and look at websites that analyze contracts and will tell you, hey, this one is a bad contract. You want to stay, or this, they copied everything in this contract from somebody else. So it's probably not a legit team. You know, mm-hmm. we go that deep.
Yeah. So Dave does a fantastic job of describing everything that's in the course, the opportunities at hand. There's a video people could watch. If they go to nftprofits.com/hustle, they'll be able to see the entire thing.
I watched it. Matt and I both watched it. Yeah. It's a good, like, it gives you a full spectrum, you know, like it's, you're telling all these like crazy flips from the beginning too, of just like, what's possible.
The first like 3 minutes, like open your eyes to how much money is moving in this space right now.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's nuts. It's absolutely crazy.
But I love what you guys did of breaking it down, because there's so many fundamentals. And I'd say, like, not just getting rug pulled or doing all that, like, or losing all the money that we all collectively have and learning, but it's almost like the emotional cost. I feel like you're just shortcutting that and just like, hey, let's just like feel a little sane when you're going into this and not FOMO, not rush into shit, doing dumb stuff.
I think the interesting thing that really is existing here too is the bigger picture. So like, yeah, right now you can buy and sell NFTs and you can make good money. And who knows how long some of these projects are going to be around. But it's really going to be interesting when, instead of having to go wait in the DMV line to renew your car registration, you're going to be able to, you know, just renew your NFT and do that. Or all the different ways in which commerce will most likely be conducted will be through this technology. And so if you're in now playing with the crypto dick butts and the other silly images or whatnot, by the time this other stuff comes, you're going to be kind of grandfathered as an OG in this space and have a real leg up when, you know, because I mean, right now there's a lot of opportunity. In the future, there is going to be infinite opportunities. And those of us on the forefront are just going to be sitting very, very pretty. And all of us, we all look back like, oh, I wish I would have invested in Apple or Facebook or Amazon Bitcoin. Or any of those.
Yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah. It's the same thing here. It really is.
I agree, man. Mm-hmm. And I think your course is doing a big service to everyone who's listening and who's at all interested in Web3, NFT, crypto, like where this is going with utility and shaping the world as we know it. I mean, it's in the media for a reason. You know, it's getting big time attention. Big money's moving in. But I totally agree. Like, now's the time. It's Wild West, but like, that's why this course exists. So, you know, let's shortcut that by people that have actually been there and done it. And let's learn together through the community too. Yeah. I think it's like the best valuable resource someone can have right now in this space.
Yeah. We can sweeten the pot too. Like, we've got our Discord channel. We actually have a channel in our Discord called Super Alpha, where we actually show NFTs that we're buying. So whenever we get in on a project, we go to our Super Alpha channel that I think there's only like 20 people in it right now because we selectively only allow a few friends in there. But in that channel, anytime we buy an NFT, we're like, here's what we're buying and here's our breakdown of why we're buying it. So if anybody grabs this course, we'll let them have access to that Discord as well.
Heck yeah.
Oh, sweet. Awesome. Yeah, watch that video too, because Dave throws in a bunch of bonuses that are ridiculous as well. You can see that video at nftprofits.com/hustle. One of the things that I really want to mention too, that this is just a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Beyond the money capabilities, it's a ton of fun in a time when so many of us have been cooped up in our house or having to deal with just pandemic life that, you know, has clearly affected all of us in some way. For me personally, it's been a nice distraction instead of, you know, it'd been easy for me to Netflix binge or, you know, just waste some time doing something silly. This has been fun and profitable at the same time. And so for me, if something isn't enjoyable, then I don't even know. I mean, Dave and I, it's funny because we haven't really talked about it, but we're sitting on a fun project, 27 fun videos that we've created and we haven't even released it yet.
When's it coming? You've been hanging.
We had to button this one all up. We literally, you know, your crew is getting some of the earliest information on this from anyone. We've sold this internally to some of our you know, close friends on our list, but the next group that's getting to hear about this is your friends. We're sharing this closely in them. And so some of these other projects are definitely to come from it.
I have probably 25 people begging to promote this thing, and you guys are the very first ones.
Oh, yeah. We'll do right by you. Yeah.
And jump on in. There's
a lot of them are probably our friends, so we can get in and get that affiliate commission before.
I also think it's really interesting. One of the things I talk about in the video, but I think a lot of people out there that are listening to this may recognize, is the idea that a few years ago, cryptocurrency wasn't the same as it is today. And so when I used to look at it, you know, I very much looked down on cryptocurrency and I thought it was a waste of time. And it was, you know, there's a great quote that I read. It was from Kevin O'Leary, Mr. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. And back in 2019, he was saying, Bitcoin is essentially a digital game and it's worthless. I bought this crypto crap. I put $100 in and now it's worth $30. That's a 70% loss. To me, it's garbage. Okay. Then you roll forward to 2021, just a couple months ago. And at this point now, his crypto allocation is larger than his gold. And he's talking about authentication of insurance policies and real estate transfers with NFTs and how he thinks 2022 is going to be the year of the NFT. And I think that's something that people need to be aware of, because there's a lot of us that may have looked at crypto at one point along the last 10 years and saw that it just didn't feel right. And it felt scummy and it felt icky and we didn't want to get into it. But now, man, you got Nike and you got Yum Brands and you got, you know, major Visa buying CryptoPunks, and these guys are, the big brands have joined on. This is here to stay.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah, I've definitely contributed to the silliness by, you know, talking about crypto.
Thank God. Or
front bums, you know, just trying to have fun. But yeah, the bigger picture is obviously, you know, starting to take over, and we're just super lucky to be on the forefront. And those of you listening out there, I know a lot of people already feel like they've missed out. Like, oh, I wish I would have got in on the NFTs. Guys, you are still incredibly early. And so there's a lot of opportunity, but we want to caution you to, you know, tread carefully with the opportunities that exist so that you can take advantage of them and not get taken advantage of. That's exactly what the NFT Profits course is about.
It's easy to make money. It's even easier to lose money. So it's like, get the course, get your knowledge straight, and at least fundamentals straight, and then go from there. But definitely, like, when you get into after the course and then you invest in your first NFT, boom, that's when, like, I feel like all the light bulbs start going off. You're like, I get it now. But don't just ape into your first project without knowing what you're doing.
Oh, yeah. There's a thing that definitely happens the first time you buy an NFT where you're just like, oh, I kind of get it now. Very cool.
So the first time you sell one for a profit, though, that's when the light bulbs go off. You're like, holy moly, I just bought that for like $100 and sold it for like $1,000. That's cool.
Yeah. And then it's next level when you actually take it out and put it into your Bank of America. Not many people do that. And I've actually, we're friends with some people too that hold on to things and have a hard time selling. I have no problem selling things.
So you got to figure out what you want to do going into it. Like, what type of personality are you? Flipper or, you know?
Yeah. And in fact, one of the things that we talk about before when purchasing too, is you want to have your exit strategy planned out before you even have your entry so that you have like a metric or a place to know, like, all right, this is what, and you're open to changing your mind. You know, there could be new information that pops up, says, hey, no way I'm selling this. This thing's way too valuable to sell. But you should kind of know, like, all right, ideally I'm looking to get an 8X flip out of this. And if, let's say you're getting a 4X flip and you notice, like, all right, I've already four times my money, but you notice the market's starting to trend down, you know, adjust. Don't be okay with selling it at that 4X. You don't, it might never get to the 8, and it could very easily go under a -8 if you don't get out. So I'm a huge fan of taking profits.
Yeah, well, and there's also that element as well of the price of the NFT could be going down, but Ethereum could be going up. So you might not actually be losing money, like real world dollars, you know? But yeah, this is all great stuff. And and I know you break this all down in extreme detail inside of NFT Profits. So NFTprofits.com/hustle.
I think we're going to throw a party in the metaverse bar where we all get naked with coconut oil too. So maybe we want to spend that.
Hey, it's just an avatar, right? I don't care if my avatar's
naked. We're all in. So we got to sell some buy some coconut oil NFTs though, so we can have them.
I can mint them. I've minted some NFTs before, so.
Perfect. All right, we got you covered there. Perfect. So let's join the party. You gotta be NFTprofits.com/hustle though. So.
All right, guys, it's been rad. I'm stoked to meet some of the people in your crew that come join us, and
by all means, we'll take great care of them. We get a lot of, one of the things that people do get through this is some personal access to us. I mean, the other day I had someone who was having trouble getting their MetaMask set up with the right token. And I just sent them a little bit of, you know, it wasn't much. It was a tiny bit of Matic, but just so they could know that everything was working in theirs. And these are the kind of things we do to take care of people and make sure that they really get good, get taken care of and get to know what they're doing.
Well, awesome. We trust these guys. They're our crew, inner circle. So appreciate you both for coming on here. And I want to dig into this bad boy myself.
Hell yeah,
too.
Me too.
Appreciate you guys. Have a good one.
I appreciate you having us.
Peace. Aloha.
Aloha.
Thanks so much for tuning into that episode. Make sure you check out NFTprofits.com/hustle to go get access to their killer course. And I'm telling you, this thing is so in depth. They've got everything you could possibly imagine around NFTs. And of course, like I mentioned in the episode, if you grab this through us and let us know that you grabbed it through our link, we'll hook you up with our super alpha channel inside of our Discord. That is a channel that is just a handful of people right now. And it's where we talk about which projects we're getting into and we kind of break down why we're getting into them, and other members of our community who are deep in this space are also breaking down what they're getting into and why. And there's a lot of analysis going on of projects that we're excited about. So it's a community you're going to want to be a part of. So you can access our Discord through hustleandflowchart.com/discord. But to get access to that super alpha channel, go grab Jason and Dave's course over at nftprofits.com/hustle. And once again, don't forget to follow us on Twitter. I am Matt R. Wolf on Twitter. Joe is Joe Fear on Twitter. And our overall network is Hard Fork Gaming on Twitter. So go check us out there and go grab NFT Profits. You won't regret it, I promise. See you guys in the next episode. We really, really appreciate you. And share this with a friend if it was helpful. All right, bye.